want to welcome everyone to CCV on all of our six campuses today. We're honored that you're here. I'm so proud of you as your pastor. Last week, thank you for praying for Easter weekend, for stepping up and serving in all areas. Thank you for inviting your friends. We had probably one of the greatest weekends we've had in the history of our church. We had almost 50,000 people in attendance, but by far the most important thing is we had 740 people that were baptized into Christ that made decisions. All of our campuses, let's celebrate that. That's incredible. We just give God all the glory and honor and praise for that. Today, we're beginning a brand new series entitled Game Plan, and I want to ask you, do you have a game plan for your life? Have you discovered what it is that God wants you to do? What is the driving force between everything you do and every decision that you make? This week, I had the privilege to sit down with a personal and corporate life coach and discuss with him what are some of the keys to developing a successful life plan. Listen to what he had to say. We're talking today with John Boehm, who is a specialist in dealing with corporations and individuals, trying to help them determine their game plan, their life plan, to help them be more successful. John, thanks for being here today.
Yeah, glad to be here.
Why do you think it's even important that a person has a life plan anyway?
I think we're all going to get to a point in our life where we look back and we are going to take inventory and take stock of the life that God gave us. And we get one chance at this thing, one ride on the merry-go-round. And you're going to look back at some point and wonder if you really lived the best life you could have lived. Was it fulfilling? Did it bring happiness? Or did you leave something behind that was destructive or hurtful and all of that? And I think a plan gives us a vehicle to build a fulfilling, happy, exciting, thrilling, life to the full kind of life.
Why do you find it so difficult for people to create a life plan?
I think it's really hard for people, once life gets going, to step back and really take an objective look at their life and where they want to go. And statistically, people spend more time planning a two-week vacation than they do planning their life or their business. And the reason why is you think if you go on a two-week vacation, you got to think, where am I staying? How much money am I going to need? How are we going to get there? Who do I want to bring with me? But then we go through our life without thinking about sometimes even doing a family budget, or where do we want to end up this year, or what do I want my kids to learn, or who do I want to become in a year from now, right? We're going to be somebody different, you know, in a year than we are today.
Yeah. If I had to say to you, what's the number one thing of creating life change? People saying, I've got to get a life plan or a game plan and change my life. If you had to boil it down to the single most important thing, what would you say it is?
Figure out who you are.
Your uniqueness.
Passions, unique talents, emotional highs and lows, things you're great at, and putting all that into a package so you really know who you are. And then from there, you can build a plan. Otherwise, building a life plan's like trying to build a house without a blueprint. Put a wall here, a wall here. Let's try the roof over here. And that's what a lot of people's lives look like, is this, you know, mismatched sort of thing, and they're just kind of getting through it.
Which is interesting. When I think about game plans, life plans, purpose, probably a lot of people hearing us talk, and they're saying, Don, have John give us three easy things that I can do practically to just accomplish this within the next 30 days. How would you respond to that?
I would say, as cliche as it is, it's a journey, right? There is no destination. You're not going to arrive somewhere and be like, oh, today I'm complete, I'm finished, until we get to heaven, right? So this, what we're doing here, is a journey, you know? Am I a better version of myself today than I was yesterday? And make that your goal. And again, back to that definition of success. Everybody I work with, all my clients, I have them memorize this, and it's success is the continual achievement of your own predetermined goals, stabilized by balance and purified by belief.
Okay, that's interesting. So I heard about four things there. Mm-hmm. I got to have balance. I got to have belief to know where I'm going. Yeah. It's got to be my goals and not somebody else.
Anybody else's.
And it's got to be continual. I don't stop. I've got to be a continual learner.
Yes. And when you take all of those things and you put them together and you wrap it around a definition of success that's truly powerful.
Do you find the biggest struggle is you give them the life plan and they still don't follow through with it? What have you found as the common denominator? I know it's all over the map.
There's so much. I would say there's a big push in church world and a lot of business world to bring more accountability into people's lives, thinking that accountability will help people actually follow through on the things that they've said they've wanted.
Okay.
What I found coaching people, though, is that if you say you want something and you don't actually do it, then I have to go back and investigate whether you really wanted it in the first place. So for me, it's really getting to the core of who people are and getting them to be genuine and brutally honest about what they actually do want in this life. Because when you know what you want, you are properly motivated. You really do go get it. What I found is people are typically motivated by kind of two major things. Purpose, which you guys are talking about in this series, which to me is the most powerful motivator. Who do I want to be? That's internal. That's permanent. It doesn't matter what I get in my life. It doesn't matter what I avoid in my life. I'm going to wake up motivated because of who I want to become.
Okay.
Does that make sense? The other type of motivation that most people live their lives by is centered around pain. And pain is all about getting more comfortable, easing my suffering. So I might join a gym in January because I saw myself as a fat guy in a picture, right? And that pain motivated me to go get my butt in the gym. But did I really want to be the guy that has a fit body because I am a fit guy? Or did I just not want to be the fat guy in the picture? And so am I becoming the fit guy? Or am I just trying not to be the fat guy?
Big difference. But
Big
most
difference.
People might not see the separation.
Motivated by pain, motivated by purpose. People that are motivated by pain in their lives rarely ever achieve what they want. People that are motivated by purpose always achieve it with little to zero accountability because it's who they want to become.
John, I want to say thanks for being with us today. I know that is your ministry of helping companies, corporations, successful people, everybody determine their game plan for life. And if they do that, you're adding value for eternity. So thanks a lot.
Thanks, Don.
Appreciate
you having me.
Thanks a lot.
You see, every human being is driven by something. John says he finds that most people are driven by either purpose or pain. Other people are driven by fear or guilt or obligation. Some people are driven by relationships, either to please their parents or their siblings or their peers. Other people even are driven by their past experiences, either good or bad, and they find themselves going through life with regrets. I want to say to you, what's driving you? What game are you playing? Some of you would say, well, Pastor Don, I think my life is like the game of Monopoly. I find myself trying to control every situation. I try to work hard. I try to make the best deals I can in order to get ahead and build my business. Others would say my life is like the game of chess. I'm very detailed. I'm very strategic. I plan ahead. I think of every move and every decision I'm going to make. Some would say my life is like the game of poker. I'm just trying to do the best with the hand that I think I've been dealt. Or some would say, no, my life is like the game of Twister. Right now, I feel my life is tangled up in all one big mess. Or others would say, no, my life is like Trivial Pursuit. I'm chasing a lot of things, but I'm chasing the wrong things. I want to ask you again, what's driving you? It's amazing to me how many people go through life without a game plan, without a strategy, without a purpose. I think all of us live life on one of three levels. These are not in your program. I want you to write these three words down. The first word is survival. All of us live on one of three levels. The lowest level is the survival level. At this level, people don't really live. They just simply exist. They work 40 hours a week just to live for the weekend. And so their routine is they get up on Monday, they eat breakfast, they drive to work, they put in 8 hours, they drive home, they eat dinner, they watch TV, they go to bed. They get up the next day, they eat breakfast, they drive to work, they put in 8 hours, they drive home, they eat dinner, they go to bed. They get up the next day, and this keeps going day after day. And if you would ask most people at the survival level, what goals do you have in your life? They will say things like, you know what, someday I'd like to be able to go to Hawaii for a week and lay on the beach. Or I'd like to be able to take a 1 week cruise to the Bahamas. The second level is the success level. And this is the level that most of us at CCV, I believe, are on today. By the standards of the world, you have it made. You're living comfortably. Life is pretty good. Other people in the world would say, man, I would love to have your lifestyle and your problems. But I'm amazed the number of people that I talk to that are on this level, and they say, Pastor Don, if I'm so successful, why don't I feel more fulfilled? And the reason is, living at the success level does not satisfy over the long haul. It'll satisfy for a while, but it'll not bring you fulfillment over the long haul. And the third level of living is the significance level. And that's the level I believe that all of us should move toward. Significance says, I'm not just taking up space. I'm not here just to exist. My life matters, and I want to make an eternal difference. Let's look at those a different way. Let's say you're living at the survival level. Your game plan is what? You just plan a year ahead. You don't get a long way out. You're just planning a year ahead. You're living paycheck to paycheck because your philosophy as life is, I just want to get by. On the other hand, if you're living at the success level, you don't plan 1 year out. You'll plan 10 years out, and you set goals and strategies at 10 years out so you'll be successful because you don't want to just get by. You want to get ahead. But if you're living at the significance level, you don't plan 1 year, you don't plan 10 years, you sit down and you plan for a lifetime because you don't want to get ahead, you don't want to just get by, you want to be able to give back and make an eternal difference in society. So I want to ask you again, what's your game plan? What is your purpose for living? The Apostle Paul had a game plan. He said, I consider my life worth nothing to me if only I can finish the race, here it is, and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me. He knew what he wanted to accomplish. He knew what God's plan and purpose was for his life. So I want us to look today at some of the benefits of having a life plan. First of all, it will reduce frustration. Doesn't it seem today that the people that we interact with seem to be less patient? They're more out of control. They're more uptight and stressed out. And I think one of the reasons that we're so frustrated today is that we're living in a world with more and more options. And when you have more options and more choices, it makes decision-making more difficult and frustrating. Let me illustrate. Believe it or not, I grew up in a time when ice cream choices were vanilla, strawberry, and chocolate. Then it went to 32 flavors. Now you can go to places and put together any combination of mix and match flavors that you want. Or what about television? Believe it or not, when I grew up, it was ABC, NBC, and CBS. Now you have Fox, CNN. You have cable channels with endless numbers of channels, plus you have Netflix. Or cereal? Hang with me. It was Cheerios, Corn Flakes, or Raisin Bran. Now there are over 150 different kinds of cereal. Every week, over 200 new grocery items are introduced into the market. Every year, over 200 new magazines are available. You talk about social media today, the social media options are limitless. Today, 62% of American adults use Facebook. 62% of American adults. 26% use Pinterest. 24% use Instagram, 22% are on LinkedIn, and 20% use Twitter, not to mention many more social options. There are all kinds of options. And see, when you don't have a game plan for your life, it's difficult to make decisions, and that's what increases our frustration. On the other hand, when you have a game plan, you know what you want to accomplish. You make a decision, you set your course, and you stick with it to the end. And you're not distracted by pressure. You're not distracted by circumstances. You're not distracted by other people. The prophet Isaiah talks about living your life with no game plan. He said, I've labored to no purpose. I've spent my strength in vain and for nothing. Isn't that tragic? What a way to live your life. He said he wasn't making a difference. He was frustrated and out of control. Or look at Solomon in the Old Testament, the wisest and richest man who ever lived. Yet he also struggled with purpose and focus in his life. If you have your Bibles, turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 2. Now, the quickest way to find it is open right to the middle. Because Psalms and Proverbs is in the middle of your Bible, and it goes Psalms, Proverbs, and then the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 2, verse 1. Listen to what the wisest man in the world said. He said, I thought in my heart, come now, I will test you with pleasure to find out what is good. But that also proved to be meaningless. Laughter, I said, is foolish. And what does pleasure accomplish? And so I tried cheering myself up with wine and embracing folly. my mind still guiding me with wisdom. I wanted to see what was worthwhile for men to do under heaven during the few days of their lives. And so he says, I undertook great projects. I built houses for myself. I planted vineyards. I made gardens and parks and planted all kinds of fruit trees. I made reservoirs to water all these trees. I bought male and female slaves. I had other slaves that were born in my house. I also owned more herds and flocks than anyone in Jerusalem before me. This guy's rich. He says, I amassed silver and gold for myself. I acquired men and women singers. I had a harem as well, the delights of the heart of a man. I became greater by far than anyone in Jerusalem before me. I denied myself nothing my eyes desired. I refused my heart no pleasure. My heart took delight in all my work, and this was the reward for all of my labor. Hang on. Yet he says, when I surveyed all that my hands had done and what I had toiled to achieve, everything was meaningless, a chasing after the wind. Nothing was gained under the sun. Here's the wisest man in the world, and he says, I've got a problem. What was Solomon's problem? He pursued too many things. Somebody said, if you chase two rabbits, both will escape. In the second chapter of Ecclesiastes, we read here that Solomon pursued eight different things. He pursued too many things. Some of us today are pursuing too many things. He also pursued the wrong things. He went after pleasure and wisdom and hard work and possessions. As you read Ecclesiastes, you come to the conclusion that he never identified what he really wanted in his life. And finally, he came to the end of his life, and he narrowed his focus, and he really found out what was most important. And you know what his conclusion was? The richest and wisest man in the world says this over at the last two verses of the book of Ecclesiastes. He said, now all that he has heard, here is the conclusion of the matter. Here it is. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. In other words, he said, the key to life is to fear God, keep his commandments, do what he tells you to do. So if you want to reduce frustration, I must choose purpose over pleasure. Remember what John said in the interview? People that are motivated by purpose always achieve what they want with little accountability. Why? Because it's who they want to be. They don't have to get up every morning and force themselves because they know what they want, and therefore they hold themselves accountable. In other words, they're living in their sweet spot. That's why they aren't frustrated. They know God's purpose for their life, and they're all in. The second benefit of a game plan is it will increase motivation. It'll increase motivation. You see, knowing what you want to do in life will give you energy and focus. It'll help you move from a feeling of helplessness to being hopeful. A man worked his 4 p.m. to midnight shift, and he usually walked home every night after work. And one night there was a full moon, so he decided to take a shortcut through the cemetery. The problem was he did not see a freshly dug grave, and he fell in. He tried to get out, but it was too deep. And so he said, you know what, I just got to relax and wait until somebody comes in the morning and gets me out of here. And so he was about to fall asleep when a drunk walked by and fell into the same open grave. The drunk didn't realize a man was in the grave, and he likewise tried to get out, and he was climbing and climbing, and it also was too deep. Finally, the other man touched the drunk on the leg and said, relax, buddy, you'll never get out of here. But you know what? The drunk did. Sometimes all we need in life is the right motivation. You see, once you have a game plan, you'll be amazed at how it energizes your life. Instead of saying, good Lord, it's morning, you get up and say, good morning, Lord. You've got a reason to live. You know what you want to accomplish. The Bible says in Jeremiah 21, God says, for I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. Listen, CCV, God has big plans for your life, so go for it. I must choose action over apathy. I've got to get up every day and decide to do something. And here's the promise from God. God is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine according to his power that is at work within us. God is able. God is able to do more. God is able to do immeasurably more than all we think or ask. You see, that's why when God is a part of your game plan, you can do more than you ever thought possible. He gives you unlimited potential and promise. The third benefit of a game plan is it will increase effectiveness. Let's face it, none of us have enough time to accomplish everything that we want to do. But I got some good news for you today. God doesn't expect you to do everything. Want to hear that again? God doesn't expect you to do everything. On top of that, there are only a few things worth doing anyway. And that's why the key to success and effectiveness is focus. There's incredible power when you learn how to focus in your life. You don't believe me? Think how much work you get done the last day before you go on a long vacation. Whether it's working in your business or whether it's working at home, what can get so much accomplished that last day before you leave? Why? You have a single focus. You know what you need to do. The Apostle Paul was so focused. He said, one thing I do, singular focus, one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me. Paul knew what he wanted to do. I think the struggle for most of us as followers of Christ today, it's not trying to determine what is good for us and what is bad for us. I don't think we struggle with that much. I think for most of us, our struggle is choosing between what is good and what is best. And so often we settle far less for our full potential when we become satisfied with just being good instead of being the best. To put it another way, we must choose what is important over what is urgent. In other words, I've got to know the difference between effectiveness and efficiency. You've heard this said before. Efficiency is doing things right. Effectiveness is doing the right things. You can be very organized. You can be very efficient. You can get a lot of things done. But what difference does it make if you're doing the wrong things, if you're not doing the important things? Over the years, as a pastor of CCV, I've had some great administrative assistants to help me be more effective. And I've allowed them to help screen my calls, to screen my emails, so that I can do what I believe is the most important thing and not being bombarded with all the impulse urgent to things that I need to do. And they have a real tough job to do that. One day, a man called the church office wanting to speak to the senior pastor, and his assistant took the call. And he said, I'd like to speak to the head hog. She listened to him, and she said, what did you say? He said, I said, I'd like to speak to the head hog. She said, sir, if you're referring to our pastor, you can call him doctor, you can call him reverend, you can call him pastor, but I would rather you not refer to him as the head hog. And the man on the other end said, okay, I'm sorry, because you see, if he was in, I was going to stop by the office and leave a check for $1 million for the church. She thought real quick and said, sir, wait just a minute. I think the big fat pig just walked in. On all of our campuses, turn to the person next to you and say, that's bad. Go ahead. Just say, that is bad. That is terrible. Why is it that we should choose the important over the urgent? You know why? Because life is short. And we've got to maximize the time we have on this earth. When you make better use of your time, you make better use of your life. The Bible says this in Ephesians 5. Be very careful how you live. Make the most of every opportunity. Don't be foolish. Understand what the Lord's will is. Now look at that. Be careful how you live. Be wise. Make wise decisions. Make the most of every opportunity. Be effective. The days are short. Thirdly, understand what the Lord's will is. Be strategic. Here's the bottom line. When I have a game plan for my life, I know what to say yes to, but equally important, I know what to say no to. And when you do that, you'll make better use of your time. You'll make better use of your life. You'll make better use of your abilities. You'll make better use of your money. Why? Because you know what it is that God wants you to do. The fourth benefit of a game plan is it will prepare me to meet God. Prepare us to meet God. Bible says each of us will give an account of himself to God. Doesn't say some of us will give an account. It doesn't say most of us will give an account. It says each of us will give an account of himself to God. So CCV, I've got to ask you, are you ready today to meet God? Are you lacking direction in your life? Are you finding meaning and purpose in life? The Lord said this. He said, "My people have committed two sins. They've forsaken me, the spring of living water, and have dug their own cisterns, broken cisterns that cannot hold water." Notice the two sins. The first sin, he says, they've forsaken me. In other words, they walked away from God, the creator and sustainer of life. And when we walk away from God, we commit the second sin, which is what? We create our own false gods. And he said, they've dug cisterns that end up being broken. What's the point here? You see, Jesus is the living water. It's a well that gives us underground water from a fresh spring, and it's abundant and endless, and it lasts forever. It's living water. But a cistern, on the other hand, is not a well. A cistern is just a container above ground for water. And over time, that water gets stale. And over time, those cisterns break, and they will no longer hold water at all. I believe a lot of people today are filling up their lives with things that don't hold water. And I want to say to you, if you're someone that says, "I feel like that's my life today, I'm not feeling fulfilled in my life," then I want to say you need to go back to the well and drink the living water that only God provides. False gods will never provide fulfillment and satisfaction. If you want to be prepared to meet God, you must choose God's way over your way. You got to choose God's way over your way. Bible says there's a way that seems right, but in the end, it leads to death. Stop and think about that. There's a lot of things that we do at the time that seemed right, but over time, we discover they were harmful to us. All of us can go back and look at our lives and say, "You know what? 15, 20 years ago, I thought that was the right thing to do. I didn't consult God. I did it my way, and I look back now and I go, oh man, If I'd listened to God, it'd have been a lot different." On the other hand, we need to choose God's way, because sometimes when you choose God's way, there's things at the time that don't seem to make sense. You look back and you made a decision to follow God 5, 10, 15 years ago, and you'd say, "This doesn't make any sense, but I'm going to do it." Means what? You're going to live by faith. And you can look back now and say, "You know what? That decision I made a few years ago when I trusted God, man, I'm in a lot better shape today because I listened to him." Why is that so true? Because God knows what we need better than we do. Bible says, "Seek first his kingdom. Seek first his righteousness, and he'll take care of everything else." In other words, seek God's way. God's way is better than our way. When you choose God's way, then no matter what day we're going to have to meet him face to face, we're ready. Because we know what? We've fulfilled his purpose and his plan for our lives. So what's the takeaway today? Here it is. I believe when you and I stand before God, and we will all stand before God, I believe there are two judgment day questions we're going to have to answer. The first is, he's going to say, "What did you do with Jesus?" Because the whole purpose of God was sending his son Jesus Christ that we might accept him by faith and live with him forever in heaven. And he's going to say, "What did you do with Jesus?" And some of us are going to say, "I accepted your son by faith. He is my Lord and my Savior." And he will say, "Enter into heaven and spend eternity with me." But there's some that are going to say, "You know what? I didn't believe in Jesus, and I went through life doing it my way, and I have rejected Jesus." And because we have rejected Jesus, even though people say today, "Makes no difference what you do, we're all going to heaven," that is not true. When you reject Jesus and you live your own way, then he says, "You rejected me, I will reject you." And the result of your decision is you will be separated from God, and you will spend eternity in hell. First question is, what did you do with Jesus? Most important question for all of us. Second question I think we're going to have to ask, what did you do with your life? What did you do with your life? Did you just take up space? Did you just show up and do an 80 hours or 40 hours a week job year after year? Or did you make a difference for eternity? So CCV, let me ask you one more time. Do you know God's purpose for your future? Have you sat down to determine the why that you're here? Do you have a game plan for your life? If not, that's why I want you to make sure you're here for the next 4 weeks of this series. Because if you're here every week, the next 4 weeks, we will help you develop and put together a game plan for your life. So don't miss next week. Let's pray. Lord God, today, we thank you for sending your son, Jesus, who really gives us fulfillment and joy and purpose in life. So I pray today you'd help us to choose the important over the urgent. I pray that you would help us to choose purpose over pleasure. I pray that you'd help us choose your way instead of our way, so that when we meet you face to face, we will have lived a life of significance and we will have accomplished the plan and purpose that you created us for. It's in your name that we pray. Amen.